20 days, one historic move, an unbelievable journey. Melania from the Amazon MGM Studios captures the one-of-a-kind transition into the White House, showcasing the planning, the pressure, and personal moments that come with stepping into the role of the First Lady for a second time. From logistical complexities to decisions made behind closed doors, the film brings you closer to Mrs. Trump and her family as they return to the nation's capital. See what history looks like before the doors officially open. Melania arrives exclusively in theaters January 30th, 2026.
Now all eyes are on Minnesota and the fallout from the chaos that is happening in Minnesota. And because I have spent more than a decade covering the border, covering the chaotic years of the Biden administration, it is impossible for me, whether I am filling in on Fox and Friends, talking on the weekend in the anchor chair, or here on Brian Kilmeade's show, to not constantly remind people of how we got here. The tragic death of Alex Pretty, before that of Renee Good. That road begins on January 20th, 2021, when Joe Biden came in and on day one undid more than 90 executive orders that President Trump in his first term put in place that secured our border and brought a safety to our country from the threat of violent criminal illegal aliens. He had Remain in Mexico. He had wall construction. I could speak for another 30 minutes about the things that he had put in place in the first Trump administration. And believe me, I knew the threat because not once, but twice, you may recall, I traveled to Honduras and walked 7,000 miles through the entirety of Honduras, through the entirety of Guatemala, across the Suchiate River, into Tapachula, Mexico, in the breadth and length of Mexico, all the way to our borders. And I watched migrants coming in droves. Then you got the Biden administration, where they opened the border in a reckless, unprecedentedly dangerous way. And that is how we ended up with 10 million plus being crossing and being allowed into our country, 2 million known gotaways. And you wonder, why did they not want to just take the free pass to cross and be given a free asylum slip to just get free health care, free food, a flight to any city they wanted? It's a good deal. The Biden administration was giving it away. It was causing a pull factor from every country on the planet of unprecedented number of migrants to come. Why did the known gotaways not want to identify themselves? Well, many suggest it's because they would be identified as criminals. So here we are now, with the chaos that has ensued after literally weeks and months of incitement from the local leaders in Minneapolis, the mayor, Jacob Frey, the governor, Tim Walz, inciting what were perhaps First Amendment protesters, moved into agitation that were breaking literally federal laws by impeding, assaulting, or obstructing federal immigration law enforcement. People forget all the time how this works. CBP, Customs and Border Protection, oversees two entities, Border Patrol and ICE. Border Patrol are the men and women in green that bravely secure our borders in the northern border and, of course, the southern border. They deal with the borders. ICE deals with removing criminal illegal aliens, many of them violent, from the interior. Now, after securing the border in an unprecedented and historic way that President Trump has done with straight 8 months of zero releases, the job is cleaning up what's in the interior. And when Tom Homan gave that press conference yesterday, I have called it multiple times and I'll continue to do it, masterclass of trying to reset and refocus people to understand the threat. And the reason why it's masterclass is he put the onus on the leaders in Minnesota by simply saying, give us your criminals. We're not asking you to do our job of federal law enforcement. We're asking you to cooperate because they are in Minneapolis, a sanctuary jurisdiction, no matter what they call it. They call it a separation ordinance. It is a sanctuary jurisdiction. And this is one quick soundbite that I thought really stood out to the heart of what Borders Are Tom Homan's trying to do. This is cut four. Listen here.
To be clear, we did not agree with Minnesota state and local officials that they would be involved in immigration enforcement. I didn't ask them to be immigration officers. I'm asking them to be cops working with the cops to help us take criminal aliens off the street. What we did agree upon is not to release public safety arrests back in the community when they could be lawfully transferred to ICE.
Joining us now, Ken Cuccinelli, former acting DHS deputy secretary and the senior fellow for immigration and homeland security at the Center for Renewing America. Ken, thank you for joining us here on the Brian Kilmeade Show. And, you know, you look at this and you think, how do Minnesota leaders not take that deal? You've got to believe Minnesotans look at it, see that Tom Homan is focused on public safety threats and would want their leaders to take this deal.
Griff, there you go, thinking logically. that's the starting error when analyzing the Tim Waltzes of the world. It's hard for most Americans, you and I are in this bucket, but so is the vast majority of Americans, to understand that people like Tim Waltz and Mayor Fry, they actually want the violence and chaos. This is not an error. This is not a problem. This is actually a useful political tool to them. Now, it's gotten out of hand. It's gotten out of control, as such things virtually always do. And so now they're, after letting these violent horses out of the barn, they're trying to calm them down. And, you know, that's a lot harder to do than to avoid the problem in the first place. And Tom Homan, as you noted, I watched that same press conference, put on a master class. And people who know Tom Homan, you know him from Fox. I've known him for years. He is a tough nut. He is not a natural diplomat, but he's a very self-disciplined, very experienced law enforcement officer. And he displayed calm, cool, collected common sense in that press conference yesterday. And his engagement with the people in Minnesota, who, as he noted, we don't agree on many things, but we do agree that people should be kept safe. Well, I hope the other side agrees with that now that they've lost control of the situation. And I think Tom is the guy to bring it back under control. And he's already doing a good job of that. And he's given them an off-ramp. He's given them a way out that makes their people safer and reduces the number of ICE agents in Minnesota and Minneapolis, because they'll still be able to accomplish their mission if Minnesota finally agrees to do what President Trump asked them to do a year ago.
Which is simply to cooperate. And by the way, Ken, you talk about the history of Tom Homan. I love to remind viewers and listeners that Tom Homan was given the Presidential Medal as the acting ICE ERO, Enforcement and Removal Operations guy, under President Obama, back when Democrats were more common sense forward thinking that having illegal criminal aliens in the country are a public safety threat. Yep. And, you know, it is interesting. I really thought that, you know, when Mayor Fry came to Washington yesterday for the mayor's conference, that we would hear a different tone from him. But yet this one soundbite really is shocking to me, Ken. Here is a little bit of what he had to say yesterday. This is cut eight. Listen to the way he talks and the language he uses.
We are on the front lines of a very important battle. And it's important that we aren't silenced, that we aren't put down. This is not a time to bend our heads in despair or out of fear that we may be next. Because if we do not speak up, if we do not step out, it will be your city that is next.
I was floored that that's the rhetoric he's continuing to use.
Yeah. Yeah, again, he's talking to a very narrow audience, and the rest of America needs to understand what he's doing makes sense to him in his little far left wing communist violent bubble. He is trying to be the guy Antifa supports. Well, he's succeeding at being the guy Antifa supports, but 85% of America thinks Antifa are a bunch of terrorists, and they are. They may not do what the terrorists of 9/11 did, but they do low-level intentional violence. They threaten and harm law enforcement officers. He wants to use battlefield analogies, so let's use a battlefield analogy. If you're against a war, you don't show up and wander around on the battlefield and tell people you're, quote, protesting. Guess what happens? You get blown up, and not because we're aiming at you, but because it's a battlefield. And these people who want to call themselves protesters, who are invading churches, who are stalking law enforcement while they're conducting law enforcement operations, that is not how you protest. You're no longer a protester. You're an obstructor, and it is legitimate as a simple legal matter to call you an agitator and obstructionist. That's not where First Amendment rights are exercised. That's where law enforcement takes place. And these agents, they just want to go home to their family at night. And they want their family to be safe, of course. They don't know what each of these individual Alex Preddies of the world has in mind. They don't know what he's going to do with that gun. It may have been perfectly legal for him to carry the gun. I'm a big Second Amendment supporter. But the fact of the matter is, if you're an agent in that situation, you've seen this guy before. You don't know which one's the crazy one. You don't know which one's going to pull that gun out and just start shooting. Mm-hmm. And that's a pretty rough work environment to try to operate in. I saw a statistic on Twitter earlier this week. Guy went through the data, ICE's data, and found that two-thirds of their officer-involved violence in the last year had occurred in just 9 counties out of over 3,100 counties in the United States. So that tells you it's not ICE.
Yeah.
It's the people organizing to be violent and confront ICE as they do their job, a job enforcing the law that Nancy Pelosi, Joe Biden, and Chuck Schumer all voted for.
This is Ainsley Earhart. Thank you for joining me for the 52-episode podcast series, The Life of Jesus.
A listening experience that will provide hope, comfort, and understanding of the greatest story ever told. Listen and follow now at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Yeah, and you talk about these agitators, and I think your analogy is so true. You know, look, you can stand, and in fact, you know, we fight wars. Men and women fight and die for your right to say whatever you're going to say. The First Amendment, stand there with your signs and your cameras. But once you cross the line to impede, assault, or obstruct federal law enforcement operations, you have broken 18 U.S. Code 111 that makes it a felony to do so. The news we're getting today, obviously, is that Don Lemon, the former CNN anchor, has now been arrested in Los Angeles early this morning. And by all accounts, we don't quite have all of the details of the charges he's going to face, but it looks like he will likely be facing the FACE Act charges, right? This is the Freedom to Access to Church entrances, which applies to houses of worship as well. And for our listeners, which you well know, Ken, the reason why it's not just clinic entrances, it's also houses of worship, is that was the negotiation that Democrats and Republicans came to, because Republicans wanted it to apply to houses of worship. It's worth noting it was the late Senator Ted Kennedy that put the FACE Act together, a Democrat president, Bill Clinton, that signed it into law back when Democrats supported border enforcement and removing illegal aliens. Now here we are today. Do you think that a FACE charge related type against Don Lemon, and for what he did by charging into that city's church in Minneapolis a while back, do you think this is going to be a problem for him?
It is going to be a problem for him. I watched some of his video. I've been on with Don Lemon years ago when I worked with CNN, and he was the one show I wouldn't go on. And Don was ranting about exercising First Amendment rights, invading a church. No. You have the right to say what you want, but you don't get to disrupt other people's exercise of their worship, which is, but not coincidentally, also First Amendment right. That's disturbing the peace, et cetera, and that's a foundation for a violation of the federal FACE Act, a very controversial law, because it has been used in the past to arrest pro-lifers protesting abortion outside abortion clinics. And as you noted, the political deal when that FACE Act was implemented was that it was also going to protect houses of worship. And so it's a rather thoroughly tested, legally tested federal law. So I do think, to your question, Don Lemon is in trouble in terms of his ability or likelihood of being convicted under this. And it'll be delicious to watch his lawyers try to attack the FACE Act as pro-lifers have in the past with very limited success.
Yeah.
Because it's a legitimate act of federal protection.
It's really, it's just a remarkable state of affairs that we live in. And, you know, coming full circle back to the what Tom Homan is trying to do, notwithstanding the comments of Mayor Fry, he's in Washington. Maybe he's, you know, feeling that he needs to make comments like that. But at the end of the day, you know, you well know, because you did this, and I've tried to explain to listeners, because I've spent a lot of time reporting and being out with them, ICE goes out and they have a target list, and every target on that list has a history of either being convicted or facing charges of a crime that is in addition to them crossing the border. That's what Tom Homan is pleading with the Minnesota officials to say, give us your criminals. And he makes the point that if you don't like agents in the street, and of course we had the famous line from Jacob Fry, I want ICE to get the F out. You know, he's saying there will be more ICE agents in the jails, less on the streets, win for everybody. You would think that they would take that offer. We have to wait and see what happens. Ken Cuccinelli, we've got to leave it there, but thank you for taking time and have a great weekend, sir.
Griff, good to be with you. Stay warm.